If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4. I love Proverbs. I read a chapter a day, and it's always encouraging. Every time you read it, you always seem to find something new, even though you read it every month. But I love this passage. Proverbs chapter 20, Solomon is talking to his son, and he starts out with saying, "My son, attend to my words." He's saying, "Listen to me." It says, "Incline thine ear unto my saying." It says in verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to thy right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to read from your scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would talk to us, Father. I pray that you would go before me, Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for allowing me to be here, Lord. I pray that you would speak to those that are listening. In your name, amen. Reading, starting in verse 20, we see that he is telling his son, "Son, listen to me. I want you to listen to every word I'm about to say." And I believe that young people, your parents are telling you to listen to them each and every time that they are trying to teach you a new thing, teach you what not to do as a young man or a young lady. They're trying to say, "Listen to me." And also, not only young people, but adults, God is telling you to listen to him. And there's a few things that I believe that we as Christians must do each and every day. It's called preventative maintenance. And I worked at a nursing home for 5 years for my dad, and I worked underneath him, and each and every day he would give us a job entitled preventative maintenance. And in my mind, those jobs were pointless. Like, absolutely pointless, because he would give us jobs like check the railings and check the sidewalks and check the lights. And in my mind at the time, I didn't think that they were needed, you know? So the reason why he did that is so if the lights were out, or if the railing was about to fall off, it could hit somebody. And in order for us to prevent that, we had to do preventative maintenance. And as Christians, we need to do preventative maintenance each and every day to prevent our life from being a disaster. I'm not only talking to the young people, I'm not only talking to the adults, I'm talking to myself. Whenever I'm pointing to you, I'm always pointing three fingers at myself. So we as Christians, all of us, we cannot get lax in doing preventative maintenance each and every day. And we see that Solomon is telling his son, "You need to listen to me, and you need to do a few things in your life." And today, the first preventative maintenance we as Christians must do is we must have our hearts checked daily. We see in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I noticed that the human heart is an organ that pumps blood throughout the body via the circulatory system, supplying oxygen and nutrients to the tissue and removing carbon dioxide and other waste. If the heart is not able to supply blood to the organs and tissues, they'll die. And as Christians, if we do not supply the right stuff, the right scriptures, the right music, the right things to our heart, our body, if we do not supply nutrients and oxygen to our life, our body is going to start to decay. And our life, our heart is going to go to nothing because we don't fill it with the right things. And I want you to notice a couple hearts here. We notice that there is a wicked heart. The wicked heart is a proud heart. The wicked heart is a heart that turns away turned away heart. We notice that we have a hardened heart. We notice that we have an embittered heart. We notice that we have a stubborn heart. We notice that we have a backslidden heart. That's all the bad hearts. That's all the wicked hearts. And we also notice the spiritual hearts. We notice that we have a clean heart. We have a heart to fear the Lord. We have a broken and contrite heart. We have a tender heart. We have a joyful heart. Now the question is, how do you get from a hardened heart to a broken and contrite heart? How do you get from a stubborn heart to a tender heart? How do you get from a backslidden heart, a heart that is always sad and not wanting to do anything, to a joyful heart? How do you get that? It's from the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." This is why God has given us the Scriptures, so we can fill our heart with the Scriptures, so we can help our. So if we hide those Scriptures in our heart, we will know what not to do and what to do. We also see that we must have our heart checked. Not only should we have a heart checked daily, but we should have our lips checked daily. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in verse 24, it says, "Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." How powerful is your tongue? How powerful is your lips? When you say something, how powerful is it to destroy life? It could either destroy life, or it could either lift up a life. And I remember reading this poem a few years ago. It's entitled "Something to Tame." And it goes like this: "I have seen what words can do as I deal with people everywhere. The tongue is powerful, it's true, something to tame and use with care. I've seen spiteful words ruin a life, and gentle words heal and bless. I've seen careless words stir up strife, and tender words ease distress. I've watched silence speak out loud, and idle chatter bring mischief. Seen timely words persuade a crowd, and hasty words end in grief. I've seen people eat their words who can't seem to hold their tongue. Watch them take the shame it affords when they are later proved wrong. My tongue too can go astray, so dear Lord, help me watch with care to whom I'd speak and whom I'd say, how I'd speak and whom and where." We as Christians need to watch our tongue. It can absolutely destroy the person we're talking to. We notice in James chapter 3, it talks about our tongue is a little body, a little member of our body, but it can ruin a life. And what is wrong with a non-tamed tongue? Well, it can destroy a testimony, not only yours, but it can destroy others. And it is hated by the Lord. We see in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." If God thinks it as a, hates it so much, why do we think as Christians? Why do we think we can use our tongue to hurt somebody? If God hates it so much, why should we use our tongue to ruin a life? We should always keep in check our tongue. How do you tame your tongue? Well, first of all, think before you talk. That's what my parents always told me. Think before you talk. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to help this person, or is it going to hurt them? And if it's going to hurt them, the next thing is to just keep your mouth shut. That's what we as Christians need to do. I need to remind myself each and every day to keep my mouth shut. If I think I'm going to hurt somebody, I need to keep my tongue tamed. Not only do we see that we need to have our heart checked, we need to have our lips checked daily, but thirdly, we must have our eyes checked daily. We notice in verse 25 it says, "Let not thine heart decline to thy." Let not thine heart. I'm sorry, that's in chapter 7. Very good. Verse 25, it says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." We as Christians must have the same vision as Christ has. We as Christians must look at on the harvest. We must look like Christ said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because many Christians don't look on the harvest like Christ looks on the harvest. And when I went to Panama the first time, and I saw all the landscape, and I saw the mountains. I just saw it as landscape. I saw it as beauty. I saw Panama as a place of tourism. But the second and third and fourth time that I went, I not only saw it as a place of tourism and the mountains as beauty, but I saw the people up in the mountains. I looked right through the beauty, and I saw the people. I realized that those people were dying and going to hell, and there was no way that they could go to heaven if I didn't go and give them the truth. And we as Christians must have a vision for the lost. We as Christians must look onto the harvest with a different look, with a different vision, and not only see people, but also see the harvest, see that they're dying and going to hell. Not only should we have our heart checked, we must have our lips checked, we must have our eyes checked, but lastly, we must have our feet checked. We must have our feet checked daily. It says in verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to thy right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." We as Christians must keep our feet on the path, feet out of the path of the wicked. How can we do that as Christians? Well, we can have our Bible as a lamp unto our feet. What does it say in Psalms 119, 105? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We as Christians must take the word. We must take what God has given us, the truth, and use it to direct our path. We are walking down a path that God wants us to go on, and we must have the Word of God to direct us while we go down this path. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, it says in verse 22, Solomon is telling his son, "Hey, listen to me," just like he said in chapter 4. "Listen to me, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." It says in verse 23, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." What is the truth? The truth is the word of God, and we as Christians must hide the truth close to us. We must have the truth near us. And we as Christians, even if you're younger, you must buy the truth. And also adults, you must buy the truth. You might say, "I have bought the truth many years ago," but what does the Bible say? Buy the truth and sell it not. We as Christians must have the truth close to us. We must buy the truth and sell the truth, sell not the truth. And we as Christians also I believe we should buy the truth and not borrow the truth. I believe young men and young ladies, you grew up in a Christian home. If you grew up in a Christian home, it seems like you just borrow the truth from your parents. You borrow the truth, and then when you leave the house, what do you have? You just have borrowed truth. You don't actually buy the truth. As young people, you need to look at the scriptures and not only see them as just words on a piece of paper, you need to buy the truth and sell it not. And also, Christians that have been Christians for many years, 50, 60 years or less, you need to keep the truth and sell it not. There's so many winds out there, so many doctrines that you can buy in, and so much music that you can listen to. But we as Christians must keep the truth that we have and sell not the truth. And when we have the truth in our hand, and we have it close to us, just like it says in Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to turn with me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse It's talking about having the whole armor of God. And we notice in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your having on the breastplate of righteousness." We need to have the truth close to us. We need to have it close to us so we can always have it. And whenever we need it, we can bring out the truth and tell others about Christ. And so we must, when we're walking down this pathway, we must keep our feet away from wicked, and we must stay close to the truth. As Christians, we must have the truth close to us. So what does the Bible say? We must buy the truth and sell it not. And I believe, unfortunately, my generation, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents brought me to church each and every Sunday, each and every Wednesday, we went to truth. But unfortunately, in my mind, I just was using their scripture. I was just using their truth. I was just borrowing the truth. And then when I went off to college, you know what? It got to me. It made it clear that I had to buy the truth rather than just live off of what my parents told me to do. Because if I just lived off of what my parents told me to do, as a young man, I would probably go to another doctrine. If another doctrine came to me, I probably would go after that if I hadn't bought the truth. And I'm so grateful that I have the truth to buy, and I'm so grateful that I have the truth to never sell, and I'm so grateful that I have the truth to hold up and tell others about Christ. So we as Christians must keep our feet firmly planted on the right path. Even though Satan tries to push us aside, we must hold the truth close to us and never let go of what the truth has in our life. We notice that it says we also must keep your feet planted by the rivers of water. It says in Psalms chapter 1. We all know this passage. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We notice as Christians, we must plant our life by the word of God. We must plant our life by the rivers of water. We must plant our life by the church. We must plant our life by what God wants us to do. And I remember as a young man, we used to live on a farm. And we used to play by the creeks. Do you call it creeks or cricks here?
Yes.
Creeks? All right. Praise the Lord. I think I call it creek. I'm pretty sure. Crick is a crick in the neck. That's what I think. But we used to have a creek that ran through our farm. And right by the creek, we'd always see humongous trees grow up right next to the creek. And we used to play in those trees, and I just can always remember how fruitful those trees were. And the trees that were further away were not as fruitful as the trees that were closer to the creek. And we as Christians, when we plant our life around the Word of God, like I said, if we buy the truth and plant our life around the truth, if we plant our life around the church, if we plant our life around God's will, God will bless our life. And we will see fruit come to our life. We will see many miracles come to our life if we plant our feet by the rivers of water, of life. I'm sure Pastor can say that planting his life around the church, planting his life around the Word of God has helped him. And he's seen fruit because of that. And as Christians, I'm sure there are many testimonies that you could say that you've seen a lot of fruit because you planted your life around the Word of God. You planted your life around the church. And because of that, you've seen much fruit. And I can say as a Christian that I have seen, just as a young Christian, I've only been saved for 7 years, but I have seen much fruit, not a lot of fruit, but I've seen fruit because I planted my life around God's word. I planted my life around whatever God's will was for my life. And young people, I want to tell you, you must, just like I did when I went to a youth conference, I surrendered my life to whatever God wanted me to do. And young people, God might not want you to be a missionary. God might not want you to be a pastor. But the best thing you could do is be a godly Christian. And if God wants you to be a missionary, if God wants you to be a pastor, surrender your life to whatever God wants you to do. Surrender, plant your life around whatever the will of God is for your life. And God will bless you in your ministry. And God will bless you into whatever he wants you to do as a Christian. So we must remember each and every day that we must have a preventative maintenance on our heart. We must have preventative maintenance on our lips. We must have preventative maintenance on our eyes. We must have preventative maintenance on our feet. Keep your feet planted by the rivers of water. Keep your feet planted on the right path and hold the truth, buy the truth, and sell the truth not. And this preventative maintenance reminds me of changing oil in a car. You know, when I was younger, I remember my dad would always have to change oil in his car. In my mind, I didn't understand why he needed to change oil in his car until I got my own car. And I think I didn't change oil in my car for like half a year. And all of a sudden, I started smelling something. Like, it didn't smell right. It was coming from the engine. And so I asked my dad, what is that smoke coming from my engine? He was like, have you changed your oil in your car? I was like, no, I haven't since I bought the car. He's like, that's why you need to change oil in your car. And so because of that, I learned my lesson, and I change oil every 5,000 miles now because I use synthetic. But as Christians, we must, just like when you change oil in your car, Each and every month or every 3 months or however long you do, we as Christians must have preventative maintenance in our life, so at the end of our life, we can hear what the Lord will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you don't change oil in your car, if you don't work on your car, do the preventative maintenance in your car, what's going to happen? It's going to break down. You're going to be on the side of the road. You're going to have to call State Farm or AAA, and they're going to have to help you. And as Christians, don't let the oil go low in your life. Don't let sin get a hold of your life and have your life be destroyed because you didn't do the preventative maintenance in your life. I'm not only talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I'm not only talking to the young people, I'm talking to the adults. We need to have preventative maintenance in our life. And when I worked for my dad, I thought it was silly to do preventative maintenance on silly things. But the realization is it was to prevent something from happening. And that's what we must do. We must prevent something from happening and do preventative maintenance in our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Sunday school, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we would do preventative maintenance each and every day. Help us to look at your scripture and buy the truth. And help us to have preventative maintenance in our heart, in our lips, in our eyes, and in our feet so we can be close to you, Father. Pray that you would bless the remainder of the service in your name. Amen.